fight Palestine. And people in Iran hold nationwide rallies to show solidarity with Palestinians and condemn Israeli massacre of civilians in the Gaza Strip. Thanks for tuning in to World News. It is now the 43rd day since Israel launches genocidal war on the Gaza Strip, where children's distressing cries of pain are reverberating. Latest videos from a hospital in the southern city of Khan Yunis show Palestinian kids suffering from injuries they sustained during an Israeli airstrike. Bombardment of Khan Yunis has killed around 30 people, most of them children. In central Gaza, the city of Deir al-Bala, six Palestinians lost their lives in an attack on a home. Total death toll from the relentless Israeli bombing and shelling has now exceeded 12,000. Women and children make up majority of the victims. Hospitals have been one of the prime targets of the regime's airstrikes since October 7th. One of the hardest hit health facilities has been Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City. It's currently hosting over 300 patients in addition to civilians taking shelter there. The Israeli military has now given the hospital an ultimatum to evacuate medics, patients, and the displaced within an hour. The military wing of the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says the group has prepared itself for a long defensive in the face of Israeli onslaught on Gaza. The Al-Qassam Brigade says the longer Israel stays in Gaza, the heavier the damage it will suffer. Spokesperson Abu Ubaida said that Al-Qassam fighters are chasing regime forces from street to street. According to Abu Ubaida, Hamas fighters have destroyed 62 Israeli military vehicles in the past 4 days. He says this is besides destroying several buildings where Israeli soldiers were deployed. The spokesperson says Hamas fighters killed at least 9 soldiers at one such site. Abu Ubaida also says Hamas fighters have fired a barrage of missiles deep in the occupied territories, including Tel Aviv. Israeli forces are facing fierce resistance from Palestinians as the regime pushes a ground operation inside Gaza Strip. The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah says it shot down an Israeli Hermes drone over the northern part of the occupied Palestinian territories. The group earlier said it had struck 7 Israeli targets with what it called appropriate weapons, inflicting damage on them. An Israeli tank also was hit near the Brani barracks. Group said its attacks are in response to Israeli crimes against Palestinians in Gaza. Meanwhile, the Israeli regime shelled several areas in southern Lebanon. The area along the Lebanese southern borders witnessed exchanges of fire between Israeli regime forces and Hezbollah fighters since October 8th. That was the day after Palestinian resistance launched Operation Al-Aqsa Flood against Israel. Several Israeli settlements in the northern occupied territories have been evacuated due to Hezbollah attacks. Iranians have held nationwide rallies in solidarity with Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip who've been under relentless Israeli attacks for weeks now. Thousands from all walks of life hit the streets of different cities and provinces expressing outrage at the ongoing Israeli bloodshed in Gaza. They waved Palestinian flags and chanted slogans against the occupying Israeli regime and its Western backers, the U.S. in particular. Protesters also censured Tel Aviv for massacring innocent civilians and called for the regime to be taken to court for its crimes. Iranians have held several rallies since Israel launched its brutal war on the impoverished Palestinian territory nearly a month and a half ago. An Israeli airstrike has killed 5 more Palestinians and wounded 2 others in the occupied West Bank. Attack took place in Balata near the northern city of Nablus on Saturday, marking an escalation in Tel Aviv's atrocities against Palestinians. Meanwhile, Palestinians have held a funeral for victims of an earlier Israeli attack on the city of Jenin, which left at least 5 Palestinians dead. 9 were also wounded, but Israeli troops prevented emergency services from reaching the injured. Israel regime's been conducting massive crackdown throughout the occupied West Bank since the Gaza war broke out. Regime troops and settlers have also killed over 200 people in the West Bank alone since October 7th. And now for an update with respect to the occupied West Bank. Violence is Mona Kendall, and also joining us is Barry Grossman, international lawyer, joining us from Bali, Indonesia. I'd like to welcome you both to the program. Mona, we're going to start with you, if you could please, with the latest.
The latest is that the Israeli military revealed that it's true that on occasion the Israeli military uses aircrafts and warplanes against targets in the occupied West Bank. However, this time the Israeli military used an aircraft, a warplane, and not a drone to carry out the airstrike on the building in Balata refugee camp in Nablus. The Israeli military revealed that they hit this building, that is the headquarters of Fatah movement in Balata refugee camp in Nablus, and that they knew a number of Palestinians had been inside this building and that they were planning to carry out an imminent operation against Israeli forces and Israeli targets. They also said that they succeeded to assassinate the commander of Fatah's armed wing Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, Mahmoud Zahad Az-Zoufi, and they claimed that he was one of the most wanted fighters in the Balata refugee camp. So five Palestinians had been killed, members of the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, the armed wing of Fatah. Two others had been seriously wounded. And later, the Israeli forces raided the Balata refugee camp, destroyed infrastructure, caused severe damage in the roads, and also destroyed a house. It was not clear, and it's not clear up till the moment why the Israelis had destroyed this house. It's not owned by a Palestinian prisoner or members of a Palestinian martyr. Anyways, the Israelis had been escalating their measures in the occupied West Bank, and every day the Israeli troops had been raiding Palestinian areas. In addition to those five Palestinians who had been assassinated in the Balata refugee camp, one more Palestinian was shot and killed during a military raid to Tobas, where clashes erupted between Palestinian fighters and Israeli soldiers, led to the killing. Israelis had killed one more Palestinian in Tobas. Two others had been wounded. Another Palestinian had succumbed to his injuries in Jenin refugee camp. He sustained his injuries several days ago, and today he succumbed to his injuries. And this brings the number of Palestinian martyrs who had been killed by the Israeli forces since the Israeli genocide on the Gaza Strip started to 212 Palestinians had been killed by the Israelis, in addition to over 2,700 others had been wounded across the occupied West Bank.
All right, if you could, I'm going to put you on hold, Mona, and swing over and welcome Mr. Barry Grossman, international lawyer, joining us out of Bali to the program. Hello, Mr. Grossman. Always a pleasure to check in with you. Hope you're doing well out there in Bali. Your thoughts on the ongoing atrocities we're experiencing and witnessing in the besieged Gaza Strip, the fact there's been no real action toward a ceasefire or a truce, not even for a humanitarian basis, and the fact that occupied West Bank Palestinians are not exempt from said violence. They are being targeted on a daily basis by regime forces and settlers.
Well, obviously, there's exactly zero commitment on the part of the regime, the occupation regime, to wind things back or to do anything which might appease the calling, the rising demands around the world and within Israel itself to stop this insanity. And meanwhile, not so quietly for those people who are enduring it, of course, the occupation has been very active in the West Bank, and that puts paid to the big lie that the occupation is targeting Hamas in this entire operation. In fact, there are plenty of other quite clear indications, especially when you have members of the occupation forces saying expressly that this is a war against the Palestinian civilians rather than a war against Hamas. But certainly Hamas doesn't have any significant presence in the West Bank, but that hasn't stopped the occupation from imposing substantial acts of violence on Palestinians in the West Bank. And I might add that the violence being perpetrated by settlers, so-called settlers, land grabbers in the West Bank has dramatically increased too, with many of them armed and actively taking shots at Palestinians and killing Palestinians. So it really goes from terrible to worse to insane very quickly. But there's exactly zero indication on the part of the occupation government that there's any willingness whatsoever to wind things back. And in fact, the latest calls are for Palestinians now to vacate a substantial part of southern Gaza. This comes after, of course, the occupation telling them to leave northern Gaza, and then as they were trying to leave in many instances, targeting them from the air with missiles and the like. Now they're being told to leave a substantial part of southern Gaza, and there's speculation that a major offensive is going to move into southern Gaza on the ground. So if anything, all indications are that things are going to get a lot worse before they get any better. Unless, of course, there is some significant intervention from the international community. And notwithstanding the many millions of people that are outraged about this around the world, the political establishment in the United States and the United Kingdom, in France, and their allied countries are quite clearly unwilling to do anything, unwilling even to do more than pay lip service to international law. Quite clearly, everything that the occupation has been doing amounts at the very least to a war crime, more likely to crimes against humanity, and according to the current definition that applies, the complete wiping out, a complete genocide of the Gazan people, because the goal overall quite clearly is to ethnically cleanse, to rid all of historic Palestine of all Palestinians. That's the aim. That's what they want to do.
And Professor Grossman, Barry Grossman, pardon, United Nations Human Rights Office of the High Commissioner, I'm on their site right now. They're asking, it says UN experts have called on international community to prevent genocide against the Palestinian people. This is the United Nations asking the international community, what more can people do? Because there have been thousands of protests just in England alone. Over the next couple of days, they're expecting over 120 protests. They're supposed to culminate into a huge million-man march on the 25th of November. And that's just one country. I mean, what can the rest of us do, Mr. Grossman?
Well, certainly, I mean, the UN has become a completely useless institution and can only do something if the United States or any of the other permanent members, I should say all of the other permanent members of the Security Council, want it to be done. And in exercising their veto power, it's become quite normal for them to exercise and in accordance with their own national policy rather than to give effect to the founding principles of the United Nations itself. As for what people can do, ultimately, what they can do is keep doing what they're doing, which is to protest in numbers, let their legislators, let their government know that they will not vote for anybody that doesn't denounce this madness. And continue to talk about it, because typically the public gets tired relatively quickly, usually a couple of news cycles out from the breaking of a story. It's our duty, really, to keep this squarely, to the extent of each of our ability, in the public consciousness in the minds of the people we deal with on a daily basis, because without people power, it's quite clear that governments will do nothing to hold Israel accountable or to stop the occupation from continuing to murder Palestinian civilians.
Thank you, Mona Kandil, joining us out of occupied Ramallah, and Barry Grossman, international lawyer, joining us from Bali, Indonesia. That's it for your latest here, everyone. Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
aperture.
In the modern era, man has reached ever new technological heights unprecedented in history. We can now communicate and interact with those halfway around the world with ease, manage workloads with a click of a finger, or access information and news in a matter of seconds. Perhaps a world without electronic technology would be unimaginable. But this miraculous blessing has a very, very dark and toxic underbelly. I'm Zarine Shajeri, and this is Aperture. The electronic technology we are so dependent on creates waste unseen in the Earth's history. Every year, up to 50 million tons of electronic waste, computers, television sets, mobile phones, and household appliances are thrown away by consumers in the developed countries. 75% of this waste disappears from the legal recycling circuit, much of it dumped illegally in the third world. Stay with us as this week's documentary spans the world to reveal how greed and corruption are ruining the globe's legal recycling systems, damaging the environment, creating security risks, and endangering human health.
We produce up to 50 million tons of e-waste every single year, and our discarded appliances increasingly end up in places like this dump site in Africa. We first came here 3 years ago, while risking serious health problems such as cancer and brain damage. Since then, the situation has worsened dramatically. The amount of e-waste coming into Africa has almost doubled. And also in Europe, South America, and Asia, the discarded symbols of our modern lifestyle are corroding landscapes and poisoning the soil, water, and air.
It's a crime. I mean, this is a crime of mammoth proportions.
E-waste trafficking is huge and said to be bigger than the drugs trade. Even though the export of e-waste has been banned for more than 30 years, thousands of e-waste containers cross the oceans every year. And the toxic tide is set to rise even further, because in spite of the crisis, the sale of electronics is booming and emerging markets are coming on board. All contribute to a growing mountain of e-waste to which we can no longer turn a blind eye.
It's like a doctor looking at a patient who's bleeding profusely and saying, oh, it's not so bad. When I hear people like that, I say, just go. Just take a plane and go look for yourself and tell me that's not a problem.
All over the world, law enforcement, environmental activists, customs officials, and undercover investigators are fighting to stop the traffickers.
Para ese tipo de personas, el futuro no cuenta. Lo que cuenta es el beneficio inmediato.
The battle is difficult to win because of the huge profits to be made and the corruption involved.
C'est tout un système de montage avec des sociétés écrans. Là, on peut parler de système mafieux.
Can we stop the toxic tide before it is too late? Mike Anane is a Ghanaian environmental journalist and activist. He has made it his personal mission to stop the influx of e-waste to his country. He has discovered that many of the computers dumped here still bear the names of their original owners in Europe and the US.
I'm looking for the asset tags or the property tags. Yes, it gives a lot of indication and provide a clue as to who owned it, who used it.
Mike told me that he had a plan. He wanted to take his collection of tags on a journey of investigation.
The idea is to take these things back to the previous owners, the original owners. And these are e-waste that belong to people in the UK. I'll ask them questions as to how these things got to Ghana, if they have any idea. Somebody has to pay for these things because the environmental and health consequences are enormous. They are killing people here. They should be responsible.
Mike is taking several pieces of e-waste to the UK. The first one originally belonged to Leeds City Council.
Dear Mr. Councillor, my name is Mike Anane.
I would like to come and see you to show you what I found and to investigate how your discarded computer equipment found its way to Ghana. This is the moment that I have been waiting for, to listen to their side of the story.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Pleased to meet you. Councillor David Blackburn, if you want to come this way with me.
Okay. I collect the asset tax of some of the e-waste that gets dumped in Ghana.
Royal College of Nursing, yes. HMS Customs at Thames Valley.
South Bank University.
South Bank University, that's in London. So you've got a fair spread of England, you know.
Let me show you the place where I found this equipment.
This is where I keep the e-waste. They have asset tags or property tags. You know, when you look at this, for instance, it says Leeds City Council. It should have been disposed of in that city of Leeds.
Terrible, huh? Terrible. Yeah, not acceptable at all. Is this the same all over Africa? Or is there specific parts of Africa where we're having problems with this?
We have Nigeria and, of course, Ghana. Yeah, these two countries are the major countries that receive electronic waste.
We've researched as far as we can that particular piece of waste from the serial number. They can date it, but I mean, we're talking 20 years ago, and as I say, at that time, I mean, the ethical, what was thought to be ethical was, we'll recondition them and give them to charities that can't afford their own computers. But I don't think anybody actually thought the thing through, that what happens when it is no longer in use.
The records of the donations no longer exist, so Councillor Blackburn can't tell Mike which computer went to which charity. The trail has gone cold. Mike tries to trace back more of the tags he has found in Ghana.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Anani. I'm trying to reach 212 regarding some recycling issues. Do you have anybody around?
Yeah, at the moment, the security issues have gone into administration. We've been taken over by Daisy.
Mm-hmm. All recyclers involved were closed down or sold on years ago.
This number is for sale. For information, call
This is a special coverage of a live event.
Right, well, we're interrupting our regular programming to bring you live coverage of a speech by the top commander of the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, the top commander, Hossein Salomi, of the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, who is now about to make a keynote speech at Tehran's Enghelab Square. Huge crowds, hundreds of thousands, possibly millions of strong crowds have gathered in central Tehran's Enghelab Square, listening to a speech by the top IRGC commander, Hossein Salami. Let's listen in.
Speaking of the Al-Aqsa storm operation as the most unique and ambush operation of in the course of the history of human conflicts, that's been a reflection of the crimes and acts of tyranny and oppression by the governments of Britain, France, the U.S., and the Zionist regime in the past 100 years, targeting a nation that has been displaced from its land for the past 75 years. And they have been displaced, and they have been deprived of security, dignity, calm, and peace and progress. After World War I, when at the time when Britain and France dominated the East Mediterranean zone, through the Balfour Declaration, the British government paved the way for the transfer of the Zionists from throughout the world to the Palestinian lands. And it allowed the secret army of the Zionist regime to take shape in the Palestinian lands and have its secret squads conducting acts of terror. And in this way, they massacred Palestinian families. And from 1920 to 1948, they gradually the Zionists gradually sought to dominate the Palestinians militarily. The British government usurped the Palestinian lands and provided the Zionists with this land. Later, there were dangerous adventures unfolding, such as the massacring of Muslims in Deir Yassin in 1948, where there was a massacre in Deir Yassin and more than 100 Muslim Palestinians were martyred. In 1956, there was the Kafar Qasim massacre. As the villagers were returning from work, they were massacred. The Palestinian youths were brought to the central part of the villages and they were martyred before the eyes of the inhabitants of those areas. This story continued till 1982 when Ariel Sharon, the butcher of Sabra and Shatila, through the Zionist regime's onslaught on Lebanon, in the outskirts of Beirut, there was a two-day massacre, and Palestinians were massacred inside Sabra and Shatila camps. It was a horrific massacre. Close to 4,000 Palestinians were martyred in these camps. The Palestinians were displaced. They went to Jordan, Tunisia, Lebanon, Syria. And they became a stateless nation with no lands, with no territory, with no right to sovereignty. And these were all carried out by the masters, the global masters of criminality. And for years, they have overshadowed the region through their policies of usurpation. And they have plundered the natural wealth of nations. They have plundered the natural wealth of the world of Islam. And they have done this in order to turn into a global power. And this story is still continuing today. What matters is that the Palestinians never gave in to the humiliating policies of the Zionist regime at the U.S. They have put on display their courageous resistance. When Ezzedine Qassam was martyred in Haifa, till today, that martyrdom has become an inseparable part of the life of the Palestinian Muslims. You see that resistance is ongoing, and due to the blessings of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, such a trend has been continuing, and there has been heavy conflicts between Muslims and Arabs in the course of the years. But after the triumph of the Islamic Revolution, the Palestinian movement was revitalized. And on those days, the Palestinians fought against the Zionists by throwing stones at them, but they gradually became equipped and armed. And in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, they were actually surrounded by the intelligence service of the Zionist regime. Even in such a condition, the Palestinians managed to arm themselves. And speaking of the 33-day conflict in 2006 and also in 2008, the 22-day conflict, and later the 8-day wars, 51-day wars, and 11-day wars, and eventually the Al-Aqsa storm operation that actually crushed all the hopes and the peace of mind of the Zionists. It actually destroyed the magic that the Zionists had put on display in the world, and the operation managed to crush the myth of invincibility of the Zionists. In fact, this operation indicated that the assistance by foreign governments like the U.S., such assistance cannot save Israel from annihilation, because before the arrival of the Americans, the Muslims and Palestinians can destroy this regime. The U.S. saves the Zionists. Every time the Americans seek to save the Zionists, it's been too late. And the same happened. The same thing happened this time. And in fact, there was this myth of invincibility of the Zionist army. And even this army cannot prevent operations against the Zionist regime. Or the intelligence agency that they try to portray, and also its internal security service, nothing can prevent the destruction of that regime. And this operation indicated that it's only a distance of 80 kilometers, and the time interval from the start of a major operation like Beit al-Maqaddas, our Beit al-Maqaddas in the years of Holy Defense, it's going to take only 48 hours. From the north, it's 120 kilometers. From the south, 80 kilometers. From the east, it's less than 60 kilometers. That's the geographical distance for conducting an action similar to Al-Aqsa operation, and another storm can totally destroy this regime and lead to its collapse. But speaking of other developments unfolding, the West, the U.S., Britain, Germany, France, specifically I'm referring to these countries and some other hypocrite states alongside them, they have experienced a moral decline in the world. The true American values that are synonymous with crimes, killing of innocent people and laying siege on Muslim lands, and by blocking the transfer of fuel and food to innocent people, these are the American values, and these values indicated that it's become a source of hate. And you see that the U.S. openly put on display its true face. The same is true about Britain. But they should know that such measures cannot save the Zionists. And they cannot save the Zionists from early annihilation. And based on what the leader had predicted, it seems that it's going to happen much earlier
بستر در حال فرارسیدن است. این واقعیت را هیچ کس نمیتواند انکار کند.
No one can deny this reality. To allow the Americans to bombard the people of Gaza and preventing a ceasefire and giving a green light to the Zionists and also providing military and political support and providing psychological support for Israel by the Americans is tantamount to the U.S. moral decline in the world. Today, the whole world has become united in the face of the U.S. and the whole globe, the global public opinion hates the U.S. And today, the U.S. is isolated more than ever before, and this is a political defeat for the U.S. and also a defeat for the coalition that has taken shape with the leadership of the U.S. to save the Zionist regime. The U.S. State Secretary a few weeks ago told some regional head of states, he said that after the Al-Aqsa operation, the Zionist regime had even collapsed, and the Zionist commanders were all depressed, and everything had been collapsed, and the Americans came from every place in order to, and even the U.S. CENTCOM was afraid, and it was stationed in Egypt, and later it was transferred to the occupied lands in order to militarily guide this war against the children of Gaza. This indicates that it's not difficult to contribute to the collapse of the Zionist regime. And in fact, this regime is being protected by the Americans. It's a special care unit. And it can no longer see peace of mind and security. And from now on, anxiety is an inseparable part of the lives of the Zionists, and that includes Zionist officials and Zionist citizens. And this is something that will never go out of that land. Please be careful about this point, that today the U.S. and Israel in fact are engaging in war against newly born infants, and this empire today is feels proud to kill infants that have been born, newly born infants, and consider this as victory. This is nothing but disgrace and humiliation for the U.S. and the Zionist regime. If they have the courage, they should get into the scene and fight with the Palestinian fighters face to face instead of targeting hospitals and instead of targeting the wounded men and women, and they think that in this way they can sing the song of victory. They should know that Muslims will take revenge. I draw your attention to this point, that Muslims will take revenge, and the Muslims taking revenge from tyrants has no expiry date. This is a story that will continue. Today, the Zionist regime is facing, it's actually behind the walls and it wants to fight. Even though it's behind the walls, the U.S. has become isolated. This is a political defeat. Even the U.S. economy will decline due to this phenomenon, because Muslims and many non-Muslims residing in other lands will definitely boycott U.S. and Israeli goods and commodities. And this is a major blow to the collapsing body of the United States. They have focused on a land battle. The Zionists were astonished and confused. The Americans arrived to give them self-reliance and self-confidence and to somehow save them. It all started with aerial bombardments. After 2 weeks, they started the ground battle. They had the perception that through moving more than 1,600 tanks and relentless aerial bombardment, they can break the resistance of Palestinian people, the Islamic Jihad and Hamas. But there was a major blunder. As long as they were behind the walls, the Palestinian combatants had no access to them, and the tanks were secure, but they adopted a wrong decision and they engaged in a suicidal operation. They did something and created the opportunity for the Palestinian combatants. They got out of those, they came out of the walls. Those walls were removed. There were no barbed wire. There were no minefields. There were no concrete walls. There was nothing. They spread into Palestinian jihadi groups and Palestinian combatants. They combined, they got closer together, and the Palestinian fighters had the chance to fight. It took several days so that the Palestinian combatants and the Hamas and jihadi fighters and the Zatin Qassam brigades and Quds brigades, they adapted themselves to the new condition and learn the model of fighting the enemy and come to know the enemy's points of weakness. It took several days, and some had the feeling that there was less mobility amongst the fighters, but they were engaged in practice, and today, from the point of zero, from the point that is not calculated, they go after the personnel carriers, the bulldozers and tanks, and they are targeted by the fighters. From 1,600 tanks and personnel carriers and bulldozers and vehicles till today, 280 of them have been dismantled and destroyed by Palestinian fighters. This has become a war of attrition. But I draw your attention to this particular point. This is an invisible war by the Palestinian fighters. No one can see them. The Zionists cannot see them. but they can see the Zionists' experience has proven that the war of invisible fighters against visible soldiers, it's going, those who are invisible will emerge victorious, and this invisible war has begun. The Zionists are even afraid of their own shadows at nighttime, and this story will continue. Gaza is on the path of victory. There are many points of strength in Gaza and also with regard to Hamas. Firstly, the land belongs to them. With a $1,000 rocket, they can target a Merkava tank, which is several million dollars, that is worth several million dollars. So such a war is quite costly. So this invisible war is to the benefit of Palestine. A war between those who are in their own lands and those who are usurpers. The war will be the one that is defending the land will emerge victorious. And this is a war between the faithless and the faithful, and the faithful will emerge victorious. And God will support the faithful. They are thinking that they will not exit that land. They think that these consolidated walls and fortresses will protect them in the face of the divine wrath. They will see the divine wrath from a place that they have never calculated, similar to the Al-Aqsa operation, started from points that they have never thought of. And the mysteries and secrets of that operation is still unknown. I can just refer to a verse from the Noble Quran in this regard. Palestine is on the path of a war of attrition and will emerge dominant. This is the definite fate of the Palestinians. Hamas and the Islamic Jihad cannot be destroyed. They are an important pillars of the cause of Palestine. It's not just a land today. Palestine is not just a piece of land. It's an extensive nation extended in the hearts of all world people. And no one can destroy Palestine. And what will go to the dustbin of history and will be considered as a quagmire in Gaza will destroy the enemy. That will be the definite defeat of the Israel. I'm not just telling this based on my personal feeling. This is what we all wish. I think of a brilliant victory, but this is a wish we all have. There is a reality that can be calculated. There is no element of victory. There is no element of victory for the U.S. and Israel in the Gaza war. But as far as the Palestinians are concerned, you see, there are all the factors required for a major victory, and that is the glorious support extended by the people, that through your faith and from the bottom of your hearts, you have come to the scene and you have turned the whole land of Iran a big Gaza. And this is a source of spirit for the Palestinians. The war has not ended. Whatever the world of Islam has to do, will do, and there are still ample capacities that can be used. Our enemies cannot realize their wishes, because Muslims and the faithful and the revolutionaries and the combatants and the Muslim youths will not allow them to emerge victorious. We pray for the victory of the Palestinian people, for the victory of their children, men and women. We pray for patience and steadfastness. Of course, they are the nation of steadfastness. You saw that Palestinian child that was whispering in the ears of his sister, and his sister was martyred, and the man who was carrying his child, and he thanked God, and he said, Allahu Akbar, God is greatest.
تشکر و تقدیر فراوان از فرمانده محترم کل سپاه پاسداران انقلاب اسلامی سردار سرلشکر پاسدار دکتر حسین سلامی انشاءالله بهره خواهیم برد از مداحان اهل بیت حاج میثم مطیعی و حاج عبدالرضا هلالی.
You will listen to Hossein Salami, the commander in chief of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, speaking there to tens of thousands of Iranians who have gathered here in the capital, Tehran. He talked about how Iran is filled with compassion for the innocent children that are being massacred. Al-Aqsa Storm, he said, was a reflection of the crimes and acts of tyranny and oppression by the government of Britain, France, and the U.S., who have supported Israel. And this is for a regime that has been displaced from the land for 75
years. Right. This is Tehran, the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. We've just had a keynote speech from top general, top Iranian general Hossein Salami, the top commander of the IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps. Hossein Salami said, West, especially Britain, was behind the creation of the Zionist State of Israel. Hossein Salami went into the history of the creation of the Zionist State of Israel, particularly in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, and so on. He said, the Haganah terrorist group and the Stern Gang attacked and terrorized Palestinians just prior to the creation of the Israeli state in just after the Second World War and before that in the 1930s. He also mentioned the Kfar Qasem massacre of Palestinians, which took place in 1956. In 1982, Ariel Sharon, the butcher of Sabra and Shatila refugee camps, martyred 4,000 Palestinians in just 2 days in the Sabra and Shatila refugee camps. But he said what matters is that Palestinians have never accepted to be subservient to either the United States or the Israeli regime. Hossein Salami, General Salami, the top commander of the IRGC, said Palestinians have refused to surrender to occupying Zionist regime over many decades. He also said the Palestinian resistance came into existence to resist Israeli occupation. And he said U.S., Britain, Germany, France have experienced moral decline because of their backing for Israeli crimes and atrocities in Palestine. General Salami said Gaza has become a war of attrition for the Israelis and the Palestinians. He said Zionists are afraid of their own shadows, particularly in Gaza. He said, there is a clear difference between Palestinians who are defending their homeland and Israelis who are foreign invaders and occupiers of this land. They do not belong to the land, so there's a clear difference there. He said, Palestine is currently involved in a war of attrition, but the Palestinians will emerge victorious from this long war. After this short break, we go back to our regular programming. This has been a special coverage of a speech by top IRGC General and Commander Hossein Salami.